All right, Rachel, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. We're going to stay Daf is Kuf Mem Tes. I want to give a special yashar koach to all the softball attendees. Mamish, you are joining us, and a special welcome to the commissioner. I understand the commissioner is with us this morning, Commissioner Ziffer. Yashar koach. I expected a suit or a little something more formal, but I'll say on a serious note, wonderful to see. It's nice that Baruch Hashem every day. I have a few more online, a few more here in person. So Baruch Hashem, it's good to rebuild. So today's daf is Kuf Mem Tes 149. We are picking up on Kuf Mem Ches on the base 148b at the Mishnah. Hopefully you did a little bit of your homework last night. We're going to pick up at the Mishnah. I want to begin by thanking the sponsors of this morning's shir. Altama Torah sponsors for the month of Av. Avram and Shandy Kelman for dedicating all of the shiurim and drushas this month with the hope and tefillah that Emir Tashem this month will become a month filled with joy in the eternal Beis HaMikdash. To thank our Daf Yomi sponsors, Rabbi Mrs. Schwarzbaum, in memory of Rabbi Schwarzbaum's father, Meir Ben Shaul, Zichrono Livracha, Yehuda and Bracha Buchwalter, in celebration of the upsharon of their great-grandson, Rafael Menachem HaKohen Bernstein in Eretz Yisrael, beautiful, and Dr. and Mrs. Warshavsky, in commemoration of the artzeit of Thea Warshavsky, Rivka Miriam Bas Yisrael. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas have an aliyah, the family's a nechama. And so with that, let us begin. So picking up in the Mishnah, it's really fascinating, because as we get to the end of the Masechta, which is hard to believe, another week or so, the Gemara is really going through a number of various issues, which are primarily rabbinic issues, as we're going to see. Is dine dirabbanon, really gzeres dirabbanon, lest one come to go ahead and commit something potentially da'araisa. So take a look at the Mishnah. Mona adam es archa ves parparosa mipiv. A person could count his guests as well as the portions by mouth. Avalo min aksav. So what's happening over here? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Paparosa minim adonim. Avalo min aksav. Im kosav me'erev shabbos kach v'kach orchim. Ploni or ploni zimanti. Kedei lo yishkechem. Lo yikra ba'osa ksav b'shabbos. So listen to this. The Mishnah is telling me that halacha l'maisa, I can't read off of a list on Shabbos. So for example, if I invited a lot of people for a Shabbos meal, and I wrote down my guests on the piece of paper, on a list, I don't want to forget who's coming, where they're going to sit, where they're going to be assigned. So I can't, or for that matter, again, I made a menu. Sounds like, again, right? Mona adam es archav ves parparosav. So I go ahead and I made a menu, and I have all these dishes I want to serve. I cannot read off of a list on Shabbos. Okay, Mishnah doesn't tell me why. So in other words, you could do a mipiv, you could do it verbally, avalo min aksav, but you can't do it off a list. Mafis adam in banav vim b'nei beiso ala shulchan. And then I both say that literally what this sounds like is as follows. Rashi says, mafis lashon payis, matil payis techalik mi magia komana umana. So we'll say, let's say again, you have a number of portions of food. You're allowed to apparently draw lots on Shabbos to determine who is going to go ahead and get what portion. Again, who can you do this with? You could do this with your family members. As long as the Mishnah indicates that halacha l'maisa, all of the portions are of equal size. So the Gemara says, "Matil." So look at Rashi just a moment. The portions should be of equal size. Velote achas gidola v'achas kitana. One shouldn't be large and one small. Lezakos begidola hazocha api agoral. Tamischaiva api agoral. Ektana yitleno v'gimar mefarish times. We'll say again, interesting halachas. We're not exactly sure as to what the reasoning is. We'll see in the Gemara, Rashi points out. Umatilin chaloshin ala kodshim biyamtiv, avalo ala monos. Rabbo say, chaloshin, Rashi says, are goralos, lots. Kohanim could draw lots. Kohanim could draw lots for karbanos on yomtiv, but not for portions. So again, we'll see exactly what that means in the Gemara as well. So we'll say top of Kuf Mem Tes. So let's begin first with our lists. The Mishnah told me that halacha l'maaseh, if I have a list of guests, a guest list, or for that matter, again, I have a food list, I can go ahead and recall by memory, right? Alpiv, but I can't go ahead and start reading off lists on Shabbos. My time was top of Kuf Mem Tes 149a. What's the pshat? Why not? What's wrong with going and reading off lists? Rabbi Amar Gzer Shem Yimchok. So we'll listen to this. Rabbi says, what's the concern? The concern is that I may come to erase. And we come to a race. Rashi says, Shema Yimchok, Mina Archin, listen to this. Mina Archin, Sheyira Shel Hechin Lahem Kol Tzarcham, V'yizcharei Chazimein, Yosem Haroi, V'yimchok Munaksav, Kadesh Lo Yikreim HaShamish. So what's going to happen? Come Shabbos morning, I realize that I invited too many people, for the Suda, so I'm going to come to a race inadvertently erase someone from the list. So therefore, Habibi says, Halacha L'maisa, you can't go ahead and read off a list on Shabbos, lest you come to erase from the list. Abayim Rabbi says, no, Shema Yikra Bishtari Hadyotos. So we'll say, this is very interesting. Abayi says, there's a different concern. The concern is that if we allow you to read from lists, you may come to read from other, what they call Shtari Hadyotos. And we'll say, Shtari Hadyotos means just other documents. Now, what's the issue with reading off of other documents? So we'll say, so there could be a couple of issues involved over here. One could be an issue of Uvda Dechol, of weekday activity. The other is the possibility of ksiva. So for example, the halacha is that one is really not supposed to read business-related documents on Shabbos. It's the halacha. What's the reason? Because one may come to go ahead and write. So this shtari hedyotos, so Abayi seems to say the concern over here is, if we allow you to read lists could lead ultimately to what? To other documents, and the reading of other documents could lead to more business-related things, in which case, again, that may lead to ksiva, to writing. So machlokes over here. Everybody's agreeing on the halacha. The halacha is you can't read off the list on Shabbos. The shayla is, why not? Why not? Is it an issue? Like Rabibi says that you may come to a race, or like Abaye says, because you may come to read other types of, we'll call it unsanctioned documents on Shabbos. My benar, what's the nafkamina? So nafkamina would be, what happens if you wrote your list, on a wall, and you put it high up on the wall. So I wrote it on the wall, and it's high up. So we'll say, because it's high up, so what's the issue? You can't really reach it in order to erase it. Says the Gemara Lamandor, Meshamim Chok Lo Chayshinon, say if you hold that the issue with reading lists, that you may come to erase it. There's no concern with erasure if it's out of reach. Ulamandor, Meshamim Yikra, but according to the opinion who says that if we let you read lists, you may come to read other shtari hedyotos. Right? I will say, again, shtari hedyotos, hedyot means just common. Other non-Shabbistic type of documents, business-related things, so on and so forth, then ultimately, even if you write it on the wall, that's still an issue. Ulaman damer shema yimchok nechosh shema yikra. So we'll say, I don't understand, but even according to the opinion who says that the issue of the list is you may come to erase, is he also not concerned about the fact that if we let you read off the list, you may come to read other shtaros as well? Furthermore, the Gemara says, is that true that just because the list is too high up, we're not concerned you're going to come to erase it? After Rabbi say, watch this, Tanya, lo yikra lo arhaner. Rabbi says, very important halacha. Shabbos, you're not allowed to read by candlelight. That's the halacha. You can't read by candlelight. Why not? So we're supposed to, this goes back to the beginning of the Masechta. Shemayate esaner. We're concerned that you're going to come to tilt the candle, thereby adding additional fuel, right? Or I should say moving the fuel or the oil towards the wick, which could be an issue of havara, of kindling. So the halacha is not allowed to read by candlelight on Shabbos. But not only that, v'amar rabba afilu gavoa shtei kamos, afilu gavoa shtei mardos, afilu asara batim ze'al gabe ze'al lo yikra. So we'll say, listen to this. The halacha is, even if the candle is totally out of reach, you're still not allowed to go ahead and read by that light. So even if the candle is two stories up, you still can't go ahead and read by the shah. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that in situations where there's a gzera, where there's a decree, that decree remains in place, even if technically speaking, what Chazal were concerned about is no longer an issue. So for example, Chazal said you can't read by candlelight lest you come to adjust the candle. Even if the candle is out of reach, you still can't read by that light. So too the Gemara would say, if indeed the issue with reading off a list is what? That you may come to erase it. Even if you write that list on a wall and that is very high up, presumably, or it would appear, that concern should still apply. So says Gemara, you're right. Ela'ika benayu. Rather, Rabbi say, what's the nafkamina between the two approaches of Rabibi and Abaye? Shet, the Gemara says, Ela'ika benayu, the kasava kosel umisisi. Rather, I can both say the nafkamina would be a case of where you write it on the wall, but you write it very low down on the wall. Leman damer shemiyim chok chashinan. So I'll say, if you say that the issue of writing, of reading off lists on Shabbos, is that you may come to a race. So if it's written on the wall very low down, enachinami, there's a concern you may come to a race. However, leman damer shemiyikra lo chashinan. But I will say, if you say that the issue of reading off a list is that you may come to read other shtari hadyotos, that's not a concern if you write it on the wall very low down. Why not? Guda b'shtar lo michlev. Because Rabbi say, reading off a wall is not going to lead to reading off a shtar. In other words, Rabbi say, I understand if you tell me that if I'm holding a list, if I'm reading the list, which again is a mundane document, I may come to read other mundane shtari hedyotos. I understand that. But lemaisa, to go ahead and say that reading off a wall is going to lead to reading to a document, that far we would not go. Ulaman da'amar, shema yikra, lechosh shema yimchok. But according to the opinion who says that you may come to reach Shtari Hedyotos, why is he not also concerned that you may come to erase? Now, Rabbi say, the erasure one is a significant one, right? You went ahead and you realized you invited too many people. Remember, we'll say the way this is working is what you're doing with this guest list is you're giving it to your shamish, to your butler. All of us have a butler, right? You have a shamash, right? So he's going to invite the people to the su'udah. So there's a real concern that if you realize you invited too many people, you're just going to take someone off the list. Or both say, for that matter, if it's your menu, and you realize that one of the things that you plan to serve, you're not going to serve. So just inadvertently, these are things that people could cross off. So why is that not a concern? So other Rabbi say, what's the case? The case is where the list is engraved on a tablet. Right? So we'll say, Rashi says over here, Pinkas ke'iluch shel sochem. So we'll say, these are just different type of tablets that merchants used to use. So we'll say, the way you would write on these tablets is you would engrave. See, either if it was stone, you could engrave on the stone, or sometimes they were coated with wax. And what you would do is you would write on the wax. But the idea is you can't really erase it. So the Gemara says, if you say it's an issue of erasure, lo chayshin, that's not a concern in this case. However, again, but if the concern ultimately is that you're going to come to read other shtari hedyotos, other mundane documents, that concern still applies. But according to the opinion, it says that we're concerned that you're going to a race. He should also be concerned that you're going to come to read shtari hedyotos. Tablo pinkas b'shtar lo michlev. So maybe you'll say, Abu Sai, that a tablet and a shtar they're not really interchangeable. We're not concerned that if we let you eat something off a tablet, you're going to come to eat shtar. Is that true? Vatanyo. Mona adam kama mi bifnim ve kama mi bachotz. Kama monos osid lahaniach lifnehem. Miksav shal gabia kosel. Aval lo miksav shal gabia tablo pinchas. So we'll say that aloche is on Shabbos. You can count off how many people, let's say you're having a very large meal. So you have to decide who's going to sit indoors and who's going to sit outdoors. And you have to also go ahead and count out how many portions you're going to be giving in front of each person. So you could read that off a list. Miksav shal gabei kosel. If the list or if the writing is on a wall, aval lo miksav shal gabei tablo pinkas, but not from writing that is on a tablet. So you see, even Rabbi will say that writing on a tablet is like writing on a shtar, like writing on a document, on a piece of paper. So Gemara says, hey, Chidami, what's the case? Ilema dichsiv, mixiv. If you want to say that ultimately it's written down, maishnahacha, umaishnahacha, elalav dichayik. Rather, it must be that it's engraved. Vikatani, michtav shagabi akosal, avalo michtav shagabi tablon pinkas. And I will say, what do you see from here? It's only an engraving on a wall that we're not concerned will either lead to erasure or to reading of shtari hedyotos. But you see that writing on a tablo or pinkas, we are concerned about. Eveli olam de kasav akosel. Rather, I will say, you have to say, what's the case? Wrote the list on the wall. Umidli, and I will say, you wrote it very high up. So that this would be the nafkamina. You wrote it very high up. So I will say, if you're concerned about erasure, so because it's out of reach, the balabas is not going to come to erase it. But if you're concerned about shtari hedyotos, that you may come to read other documents, then enachinami, that would still be a concern. Aye, but what about, when we floated this answer before, we raised the question of the kakashi lecha derabba, but we brought up Rabba's issue. What was Rabba's issue? Rabba's issue was that apparently when Chazal made a gzera that gezeira remains in effect even if the metzias that they were concerned about is not present. So Rabbi Zonu raised, you want to tell me that if the writing is very high up on the wall, there's no concern of erasure. So therefore, it should be fine. But 1 second. Remember, you can't read by the light of the candle, because what are we afraid of? You may come to adjust the flame. But yet, the halacha is, you still can't read from the candle, even if what? The candle is far out of reach. So by Pashas, it should be Yasser over here as well, even if the writing is high up on the wall. Tinahi, we both say, this issue of Rabbah is in fact a machlokes tanaim. Watch this. Tisanyo, mona adam es archa, ves paperos of mipiv. A person could count his guests and count the portions verbally. Avalom en aksav. But he should not really count off of a list. Rav Acha matir miksav, shagab yakolson. Rav Acha allows you to read off a list, as long as the list is not on a piece of paper, but it's written on a wall. Sehechi dami, what's the case of a permissible list that's on a wall? Ilema dichsiv mitasa. If you want to say that the list is written low on the wall, lecho shema yimcho, that has to be a concern of erasure. Elalav dichsiv umidli, rather it must be a case where what? Where Allah is writing it high up on the wall. Ushmamina dirabba tanoi hishmamina. They both say, ultimately, again, see that the concern of Rabbah is really a machlokes tanoim. So both say, interestingly enough, what it comes down to over here is as follows. In the situation where, if the list was written on the wall and it was written within reach, the concern of erasure would still exist. The shaila is, if you're writing it high up on the wall, so does that obviate the concern of erasure? So interestingly enough, this will be a machlokes. Now, Rabbi, I understand it's a very yesodistic machlokes tanoim. Because what are they arguing about? What they're arguing about is, if the actual thing that Chazal were concerned about has been addressed, does the gzeira still apply? So Rabbi will say, yes, the gzeira still applies. And I will say it makes sense, because when Chazal legislate things, they legislate things in the form of what we call a low plug. Low plug means what? The gzeira is a gzeira. We don't start making exceptions. So if Chazal said you can't read by candlelight because we're afraid that you might come to adjust the flame, so I don't care if the candle is right in front of you or the candle is two stories up. You can't read by candlelight. So too, again, if the concern is erasure, I don't care if the list is written on the wall right at your own height or much higher than you. It doesn't make a difference. The other opinion says, no, it's not true. When Chazal made a gzeira, they were concerned about something very specific. If your situation, if your metzias takes care of their concern, then halacha lamaisa, the gzeira doesn't apply. So according to this, if you were to place the candle two stories up out of reach, you could read by that light. So too, if you're putting the list high enough on the wall that you're not going to come to erase it, then halacha lamaisa, that is permissible on Shabbos as well. V'hani tanai kani tanai. Both say, now these tanai are like the other tanai. This anyo, ein roin b'marav shos. Listen to this interesting halacha. You can't use a mirror on Shabbos. Wow. Right, you can't look in the mirror on Shabbos. Rabbi Meir Matir b'marakavu b'kosel. Rabbi Meir says you can go ahead and use a mirror as long as the mirror is affixed to the wall. Ma'ishnakavu b'kosel. Rabbi says, so just understand, what's the issue over here? Logi Rashi ein roa b'mara. Rashi says mirror lefisha roa b'mara einot zarech el litakin saras rosha uzikano. Hilcha chayshinon sheme yira neiman amidul dalin sheinon shavos im saras yevekano. But listen to this. What's the concern? This is incredible. Person's going to look in the mirror, and why does the person look in the mirror? They want to make sure that their hair, that their beard is properly groomed. What could happen? You look in the mirror, you see a couple of stray hairs, and you may come to what? You may come to go ahead and cut it inadvertently. So you come to give yourself a quick trim on Shabbos. So because of that, the Gemara says, you can't look in a mirror on Shabbos. Rabbi Meir says, you can use a mirror that is fixed to the wall. What does that mean? Because we both say the assumption is because it's fixed to the wall, it's going to take you some time to go in and get the scissor. And in the meantime, you'll remember that it's Shabbos. So we'll say, we assume that people only inadvertently violate Shabbos when there's no time to think. Right? No time to think. But again, if there's a pause, the Pashto is supposed to remember it's Shabbos. So if the mirror is affixed to the wall, the mirror says you have a couple of moments. I understand. Shena kavor nami adahachi vachi min. I understand, even if the mirror is not fixed to the wall, right? They will say, it's still going to take him a few moments to get the scissor to come back, to cut the hair. He'll remember. Oh, we'll say, watch this. Hacha b'mare shamatecha saskinon. We're talking over here about a metal mirror. Watch this. Ukid Rav Nachman Amar Baravua. Why did they say that you can't look in a metal mirror on Shabbos? People say this is incredible. Apparently, they used to have metal mirrors with sharp edges. So, what was the chap? You take a look, you see, oh, there's a couple of stray hairs. What do? You take the mirror, chick chack, and you're done. Right? To give yourself a little haircut right there. Incredible. So therefore, again, that's the concern. So when Rabbi Meir says, if you could use, you could look on Shabbos in a mirror, ultimately, again, in a mirror that's affixed to the wall, because then there's going to be an extra step, you have to go ahead and get scissors. And therefore, we assume that in the midst of all this, you're going to remember that it's Shabbos, and you won't come to violate. When are we concerned? So when we say that you can't look in a mirror, what is that talking about? That's talking about a metal mirror that could be used to trim the hair as well. So again, what you begin to see is this ongoing theme, this fundamental machlokes about how you deal with dinei d'rabbanan, where the rabbis legislated because of a very specific concern. So the shaila is, if you address the rabbinic concern, really obviate the rabbinic concern, does the gzera go away or not? So let's say, just so you should know, this is perhaps one of the most fundamental machloksim in halacha. This has many lemaisa applications. Because I will say, there are many gzeros or takanas of chazal, where chazal tell us the reason why they legislated it. And sometimes, again, it could address the reason. And other times, by the way, the reason just doesn't really even apply all that much anymore. So halacha lemaisa, it's always fascinating to see, does the gzera remain in place or not? So this is also part of a bigger discussion that Chazal made different types of gezeras. There's a difference between a gezera and a takana. There's a difference between a situation where Chazal were explicit in their reasoning versus when we just infer what their reasoning was. But Lamaisa, what you see over here is that this is a raging mechlokes. This is a raging mechlokes. So again, when Chazal tell me I can't do something, I can't do A, because it may lead to this. So okay, if I structure the situation in a way that it's not going to lead to this, so you can't read off a list because you're going to come to erase it. Okay, I write it high up on the wall. I can't erase it. Or the mirror's fixed to the wall, so I can't use it obviously to go ahead and cut my hair or anything else like this. Halacha lemaisa. So I put the candle two stories up. So does that take away the gzera or not? That's the machlokes tanan. Incredible. Tanan abanon. This is a totally different. So I just want to point out something interesting. This halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So in Simin Shin Zayin, Sif Yud Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Zimein Orchin beheichin lohem minei megadim vekasav b'ksav kama zimein the kama megadim heichin lohem asur lekrosav b'shabes. So this in general Shulchan Aruch says to avoid the usage of lists on Shabbos. What I do want to point out is the Shulchan Aruch passing is that this is true even if you wrote it very high up on the wall. So what do you see from here? You see from here that in the eyes of halacha lemaisa, gzeros chazal, dinei d'rabbanan, remain on the books, even if you actively address the very concern for which Chazal legislated their halacha for. So you see from here, I can't go ahead. Actually, I tell you that this is not the best example of that, because you see over here that the Shulchan Aruch is understanding that the reason for the takana is not because you may come to a race. Rather, the reason for the takana is what? Shema yikra b'shtari hedyotos. This was a general concern of Chazal about reading items, mundane items on Shabbos. Now, there's two different things. Reading mundane items on Shabbos is a rabbinic violation. The pasuk that the Gemara calls on the Navi is "Vimtzo chafatzecha v'daber dover." There's an idea that on Shabbos you should really be involved in kaddish things, not in mundane things. So, reading shtari hedyotos, reading just non-kaddish things, by definition, is not the proper use of Shabbos. Reading business-related things, Rav Osai, is a more specific issue that it may come ultimately again to ksiva, to writing. So therefore, again, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you made a list for your guests, it would appear like even like a menu list. Ideally, one should not go ahead and read off of that on Shabbos, lest you come to read Shtari Hayotos. Tane Shtari Chovos v'Cheshbonos. So it's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch defines Shtari Hayotos as business documents. So it's actually interesting over here. The concern over here is that if we allow you to read off these lists, you may come to read other specific type of business documents. So also listen to this. The exception to the rule of the Shulchan Aruch is if you engraved. Right? If you engraved it on the wall, that's already a different kind of ksiva. Halacha lemaisi can read off that. So again, there's a number of other related halachos over here, which is beyond our scope for our shiur this morning. But lemaisa, just know that this issue of reading mundane lists is really quite fascinating. Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Zayin. So the Gemara then transitions to another halacha. Tanur Rabbanan, ksav hamahalei tachas hatzura, v'tachas hadik yonos, asa dekrosa b'shabes. Similarly, the Bible says you can't read writing underneath an image, or underneath a picture, a drawing, or underneath an image. So we'll say, so this is, look at Rashi for just a moment. Ksav hamahalei tachas hatzura, v'tachas hadik yonos, kegon b'nei adam hametzayrim b'kosel, Chayos Mishunos, Odik Yonos Shalbani Adam, people who draw different pictures of animals or images of people, or Shalmaisim Kigo Mechamez David Vegolias, Vikosun Takta, Zutsur As Chayaplonis, Vizu Dik Yonos Plonis Uplonis. So we'll say, so a caption. A caption. So somebody draws a picture of an animal or of people, and they write the caption, Halach Lamaisa and Shabbos, you should not read that caption. Should not read that caption. So we'll say, so again, this, interestingly enough, is also brought down in Shulchan Aruch. He brings down over here, Tesvav, I think, right? Second. Yeah, Tesvav. So Shulchan Aruch over here, he brings it in the midst of... Yeah, kosel ovilon shiyesh bot suros chayos mishunos odikyonos shal b'nei adam shal maisim gigol mechames David v'golias v'kosvin zu tsuras ploni v'zu diyoknan ploni aser likros b'shabbos. You can't go ahead and read it on Shabbos. And what's the reason? Gezera shem yikra b'shtari had yotos. So we'll say this is fascinating. You see, Chazal had this incredible concern about people coming to read business documents on Shabbos. It's just interesting. So therefore, again, because of that, they legislated about the prohibition to read all of these seemingly mundane things. So again, to read a caption underneath a painting, or to read a caption underneath a picture, the Gemara says, is usher, lest you come to go ahead and read business documents. So the Gemara says, v'diyokna atzma, af b'chol usher lehistakeba. I'm both saying that the truth is, these images of animals or these images of people, you really shouldn't look at even during the week. Shenemar al tifnu el ha'elilim. Do not turn to the alien gods. May tamudo amar bichanin al tifnu el midatchem. Do not turn to those gods that you create from your own mind. So, both say this is actually quite fascinating about the issue of looking at pictures of people, pictures of animals. The Gemara says you really shouldn't do it even over Shabbos. But like Tosis, if you take a quick look at Tosis, Tosis says that the yukne atzma af b'chol aser nira to b'shavi l'shem avodas gilulim avalinoi mutter. So both say this is a very important distinction. When shouldn't you look at pictures of people or pictures of animals? When it was created for the purpose of idolatry. So both say, so it's interesting. So you shouldn't look at, what do they call it? Iconography, is that the term? The idea is, so images, there are religious images that are made for Avodah Zarah, right? Or so one should not, ideally not even look at that even over the course of the week. So again, but Tosis points out, but things that are made for art, right, without any kind of religious overtones, that one is permitted to look at. Interesting, a lot of interesting halachas here. So the Gemara goes right there. Mafis Adam Imbanov. So let's remember again. So the Mishnah said, you could draw lots with your family members for portions of food. So the Mishnah was very specific here. So the Mishnah said, "Mafis adam in bana v'menebeisu ala shulchan." Or bevashlo iskaven lasos mona gidol kinege mona kitana. So we'll say, let's say, right? So you want to draw lots with your family. Who's going to get which portion? You could do that, but assuming all of the portions are of equal size. Says the Gemara, "In bana v'menebeisu in pim acher lo." So apparently, you could do this with your family members. You can't do this with other people. Why not? My time. Okay, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Bnei chabura hamakpidim ze'azeh. Over mishum mida, umishum mishkal, umishum minyan, umishum love new part. Because we'll say if you have a group of people who are makbid with each other, right? So we'll say that they're exacting. They're splitting things, and they're exact with how they go ahead and they do that split. They are quote unquote over. If they do this on Shabbos, they could be in violation of measuring, weighing, counting and lending and repaying. Look at Rashi. Mishum lavnu porin de gazu b'rabbanu shemay yichtov. So I see the idea is over here. We don't want to draw lots for portions with non-family members because of a concern that essentially it looks a little bit too business-like. So if you have people who are a bit more exacting with one another, we don't want to start drawing lots for things because then it looks like weighing, measuring, lending, borrowing, all these things that we don't want to do on Yom Tov. Ukedivrei Amud Beis, Ukedivrei Beis Hillel, Af Mishum Ribis. And I will say, interestingly enough, this goes back to Beis Hillel yesterday, right? Beis Hillel says there could also be a potential issue of ribis. So you're both saying, because if I'm withdrawing lots, and somehow you're going to get something and have to pay me back, and let's say your lot falls on portion X, right? And then when you're going to give it back to me, let's say again, the whatever it is, let's say the bread or whatever else appreciated in value, you could actually be giving me back more than what it is that I gave you. So therefore, Beis Hillel says that halacha lamaisa, you should avoid drawing, Gemara says, therefore, we'll say, because of all of these reasons, you should not draw lots for portions of food with other people. Either because it looks too transactional in nature, and that's not good on Shabbos, or according to Beis Hillel, because it could actually lead to ribis. So, Gemara says, one second. So the transactional nature, I understand that if that doesn't apply to my family, right? Because again, it's my family. But I will say, what about ribis? If there is a concern that if we're drawing lots for portions, you're going to get something, right? So my child's going to get one thing, I'm going to get something else. And let's say, again, there's some expectation of, let's say, being repaid, right? If my children get something from me, they're going to repay me in some way. Is there not a concern of ribis? So the Gemara says, Ihachi, banavu b'nei beiso, nah, I'm supposed to listen to this. This is incredible. Banavu b'nei beiso, hainu tamid ki Rav Yehuda, amrav, dam Rav Yehuda, amrav, mutar lahavos banavu b'nei beiso b'ribis. Both said, this is wild. Rav Yehuda says, you are permitted to charge interest to your family members. You can charge interest to your children and to your family members. Why? Kedei lahat iman tam ribis. In order that they should taste what ribis is like. What is that? You look at Rashi, this is incredible. Lahat iman tam ribis, it's the last of the wide lines in Rashi. She on top. Ked sheyedu kama kasha. So we'll say that they should see how difficult ribis is. In other words, we'll say that Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to charge your children and your family members ribis, so that they should see how stinging, right? That it stings to pay interest, and that should sensitize them and inform their interactions with others. So sometimes the way to be mechanech, your family members, not to charge ribis, is how? To charge them ribis, right? They'll see how difficult it is to pay interest, and therefore, Amir Tashem, if they're in a position to lend money, they won't charge another Jew interest. Rashi says, Kevan Amma, Kevan Mishalohu, Ein Kan Isser Ribis. Vilchach Gabi Mido, Mishkal Minyan, Nami Lav Kapeduhu, Ella Shosam Balokina. So we'll say, so therefore, again, even if you want to say that the issue of drawing lots for portions is an issue of Ribis, Ribis doesn't apply with family members. I will say, now I want to point out, we don't paskin that way. Ribis does apply to family members. There's one exception to this rule. The one exception to this rule is, if you're supporting your children. So if you're supporting your children, you could charge them ribis. So we'll say, you'll say to yourself, yeah, of course. Why? Because you're not really charging. So again, that's where this chinuch comes in. So if there's a chinuch issue, if you want your children to see what ribis feels like, again, to sensitize them, then lemaisa, again, Lamaisa, you could charge if you're supporting them. So if you're responsible for their support, you could charge them ribis, because ultimately, again, the chinuch is coming without any real ribis. Rabosai, which also tells you something incredible from a chinuch perspective. Rabosai, so you say, I don't understand. If I want to teach my kid about ribis, let me sit them down. Let's have the ribis talk, right? Every parent has to have the ribis talk with their child. Right? So why don't I just have the talk? Why do I have to charge them ribis? Rabosai, something incredible chinuch. See, people think that real chinuch means you should make everything as easy as possible for your children. We'll say that is a terrible disservice. This is one of the fatal flaws in contemporary parenting, that we think somehow that my goal as a parent is just to clear the way for my kid, make sure that everything is smooth sailing, right? A trophy at the end of every game. Everything should just be great. They should always feel like a winner. We'll say that's a terrible disservice. Because no one is always a winner in life, right? Most times in life you lose, and a couple of times you win, which is what makes the wins so incredibly meaningful and so incredibly impactful. So if I want to educate my child about ribbis, you know what you do? Charge them. So the way to mechanic a child, ultimately, again, is to allow them to experience sometimes some of the difficulties. Obviously, the job of a parent is to protect, is to nurture, and to love. But sometimes we don't realize that if you remove all adversity from the path of a child's muscles, life muscles, atrophy, right? The way we grow and they become stronger is we encounter adversity, we deal with adversity, and we overcome it. Today, it's amazing that I remember when I grew up in the shtetl, it wasn't like this, right? So again, this incredible yesod, if you remove every little bit of adversity, give a child just give your child everything they want, right? Make them happy, and they're going to be fine. Because everybody's so scared, my kid's going to go off the derech. If I discipline them, if I take a hard line with them, they're going to go off the derech. Kid's not going to go off the derech. Children go off the derech for all kinds of reasons. And yes, if you inappropriately discipline, it absolutely could happen. But proper discipline, a good measure of adversity, builds stronger, resilient children. But going in and making everything easy builds wimps. Right, builds children who never know how to lose, builds children who cry when they don't get the trophy, builds children who think that they're always supposed to end up on top without any level of effort. So you want your children to appreciate ribbis? Charge them. Now, I'm not necessarily suggesting that, actually, like as a good approach, but it's incredible how Chazal's approach to chinuch was sometimes a little bit of difficulty. Allows a child to grow in significant ways. So I understand, if that's the case, then why does the Mishnah say I can only draw lots with like portion? If there's no issue of ribbis by my kids, no issue of ribbis, and lemaisa again by my own family, there's no issue with transactions either, so then why can't I go ahead and have them draw lots for large portions versus small portions? Right? The Mishnah is very clear that you can only draw lots for like portions. But the Gemara says, you're right. Enochinami, you are correct. In fact, there's a piece missing from the Mishnah. We'll say, you ever feel like when you get to a Chisrei Mechsera, it feels like you hit like the jackpot, right? It's like bonus material. The Mishnah says, you're right, there's something missing. Chisrei Mechsera v'hachi katani. Here we go. Mathis Adam im banavim b'nei beis ala shulchan. A person could draw lots for portions with his family members, for portions on the table. Afilu mana gidola kinegin mana ketana. And also, when dealing with your own family members, because also remember again, you'll see to yourself, why are you drawing lots with your own family members? So it's great, because generally most families, there's usually some type of argument that breaks out over who gets what. So how do you go ahead and take care of the who gets what argument? You draw lots. So with your own family, there's no problem with drawing lots, even for larger, smaller. There's no issue because there's no transactions with family members, right? Immediate family members. And halacha maaseh, there's no ribbis issue as well. My time, ekid Rav Yehuda Marav, im banav b'nei beis so'in, im achirim lo. But I will say, this is only true with your own family members, but with other people, it's not true. My time, ekid Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And we'll say, why can't ultimately, again, you do it with other people? You can't do it with other people. I will say, ultimately, again, because of the potential issue of ribbis. So the Gemara says, "Mone gidola kineged mone ketano, af bechol la'achirim asr." I will say, this is incredible. What you can't do is you can't draw lots. You can't draw lots, ultimately, again, with other people during the week for money gidola, money ketana. Now, what does this mean? So imagine we'll say all of us sit down to a suda. All of us sit down to a suda. So we'll say, let's say we all paid for the suda, right? $25, we're all having dinner together. So we'll say, but not all the portions are the same. So what do? We all draw lots. We all draw lots. Now again, we love each other, but we're not necessarily mishpacha. So the halach is, the Gemara says, that you can't even do this during the week. Money gidola keneged money ketana. You can't draw lots for during the week. We'll say, why? Asher, my time? Mishum kuvya. The Rebbe say, kuvya literally means what? Dice. So the issue is one of gambling. We'll say, now what's the pshat? You look at Rashi, this is incredible. Mishum kuvya, this is incredible. The gezelhu, dasmachta lo kanya. But let me take a step back for just a moment. Take a step back just a moment. We'll say, what's the issue with gambling? What's the issue with gambling, right? Why is gambling usher? So we'll say, gambling is usher, the Gemara says, because it's gezel, because it's theft. Why is it theft? We all sit down to a poker game together and we all put our money willingly. No one has a gun to my head. I'm putting the money in willingly. So this is incredible. So Chazal say, do you know what the psychology of gambling is? No one gambles to lose. Everyone gambles to win. So even though, again, when I have the losing hand, right, then I throw my cards down and I say, okay, shkoyach, you won. In my mind, what's happening? No, it's happening. Mamzer, took my money from me. I can't believe it. Okay, so I'm going to be a gracious loser. Well, or maybe not. But the money, I'm giving up the money unwillingly. Chazal say, therefore, the winner is effectively stealing my money because I'm not really giving it up willingly. That's called asmachta lo kanya. Even though I say that I'm willing to give up my money to you, it's not true. It's not true, we'll say. It's at the end of the day, again, I lost, so I really have no choice. It's like a code of conduct by gamblers that if you lose, but lamaisa, I'm not willingly giving up the money. So we'll say, isn't this incredible? This is the issue of gambling, that it's mamish gezel, it's mamish theft, because the loser is not really, in Chazal and the psychology, right? The loser is not really willingly giving up his money. So because that I, the winner, am effectively stealing from everyone else around me. So the Gemara says like this, it's the same issue with drawing lots for portions. If we all sit down together, we all have technically the same level of entitlement. So again, I'm going to draw lots, you're going to get the bigger portion, I'm going to get the smaller portion. I'm really not really willingly ceding to you because I feel I should be entitled to that larger portion. Therefore, Chazal said, even during the week, the Gemara says, you can't really draw a lot. You could draw lots for like portions. If everything is the same, that's fine. That's fine. But if some are larger, some are smaller, it's actually an issue regarding kubya, the same type of issue ultimately regarding gambling. Incredible. Matilin chaloshin. So let's remember again, the Mishnah said that you could draw lots, chaloshin or lots as well. The Kohanim could draw lots for kachim on yamtiv, right? But not for portions. So what does this mean? Says the Gemara, my aval lo alamanos. What does it mean, but not for the portions? So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yaakov, Berei de Bas Yaakov, Avalo alamano shel chol biyamtiv. I both say, what you can't do is as follows. If kachim, if karbanos were offered yesterday, you can't draw lots for those portions on yamtiv. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Maldetim, I both say, again, if it was done yesterday, so you should have divided it up yesterday. If you wanted to draw lots, you could draw lots yesterday. So of course, I'm not going to let you draw lots on yamtiv for something that was offered up the day before. Ma'od detema holuksiv va'ameich kimeri ve'koin. So we'll say this is great. The pasuk in Hosea says, your nation are like fighting Kohanim. So we'll say, so remember again, Kohanim were known for their tempers. They were known for their tempers. So the pasuk says, you are like fighting Kohanim. I might have thought, afilu manos techol nami. I would have thought, therefore, just in order to keep the peace, maybe we should let the Kohanim go ahead and divide up the portions, even on Yom Tov, even though it was a carbon from yesterday. Kamash malano. Kamash malano say that Aloch Lamaisi can't draw lots on a weekday carbon, because ultimately, again, that carbon should have been divided up before Yom Tov. Am Rabbi Yaakov, Berei Debas Yaakov. We'll say, this is incredible Gemara. Kol shechavero ne'anash al yado, ein machnisin osu v'michitzasa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi say, if someone is punished through you, someone is punished through you. In other words, if you are the cause of someone else's punishment, such a person is not brought into the inner sanctum of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We'll say, isn't this an incredible yisod? So even though I didn't necessarily do anything wrong, but if I am the cause of someone else's punishment, if I'm the cause of someone else's downfall, there's a level of liability associated to that, and such a person is not brought in to the beautiful intimate closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Minal, and where do we know this from? Ilein mishum dechseva yomer Hashem mi yifates achov vayav vayipol b'ramos gilad. So there's a little bit of context here. Achav, who was a king over Malchus Yisrael, was unfortunately a terrible Rasha. Now, the qualification I want to give to that is Achav was a man with incredible potential, and many times came very, very, very close to doing tshuva, but just at the end of the day wasn't able to pull the trigger on the tshuva for a variety of different reasons, which is part of the tragedy. Sometimes a person is just a Rasha through and through. Sometimes a person's a Rasha. You see sparks of holiness in the person, and it's tragic when the person cannot fan those sparks into a flame of repentance. So Achav was such a person like that. So therefore, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the spirits, so to speak, who will entice Achav to go ahead and go to war with Aram? So we'll say the story is that there were hundreds of false prophets who were inspired by a spirit to tell Achav that he will be successful in his war against Aram. So Achav dies in the battle against Aram. This was a setup by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to the spirits, right? Who will go and tell Achav to go up to war with Aram? Vayomer, Zebekol, Vayomer, Zebekol, Vayitza, Ruach, Vayamol, Lefnei Hashem, Vayomer, Ani Yafatenu. A spirit came along before God and said, I will entice Achav to go ahead and go out to battle. Vayomer, Eitzei. So the spirit says, I will go, I will be the Ruach Sheker, I will be the false prophecy in the mouth of all the false prophets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the spirit, go and do so. It was a very strange exchange. Who's the spirit? Who's the spirit who wanted to go and entice Achav to sin? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ze Rucho Shel Novos. Wow. So we'll say a little bit of backstory. If you don't recognize this story, it makes perfect sense. This is from a body of literature called Navi. So generally, again, Jewish men don't usually partake in this particular... So you'll ask if you have any daughters or you have a wife who has an education, don't know this. So we'll say, the idea the Gemara says is like this. This was the Ruach of Novos. Remember, we know the story. Achav wanted a particular vineyard. One of the only problem was the vineyard was owned by someone else and the person did not want to sell. Man by the name of Novos. Achav has an exceptionally evil wife, woman by the name of Izebel. And Izebel says, no problem, leave it to me. She goes ahead and brings false charges against Novos. Novos is executed and ultimately, again, his property becomes the property of the king, the property of Achav. So this is so Novos, the spirit of Novos, was angry at Achav, and therefore the spirit of Novos agreed to be the spirit of false prophecy that will lead to the death of Achav. So the Gemara says, might say, so what does it mean when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the spirit of Novos, go out? Supposedly this is incredible. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the spirit of Novos, listen, you can go and you could do this. You could put the false prophecy in the mouth of the false prophets, but if you do this, just understand you give up your space within my inner sanctum. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the spirit of Novos. So you see from here what? You see from here the statement of Rav Yaakov that if you become the source of someone else's downfall, you don't have a place inside the mechitz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the spirit of Novos became the source of Achav's downfall, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you want to do this, you could do this, but v'tzei, you have to go ahead and go out. You have to go out. You have no place within my mechitza. So the Gemara says, one second. Maybe it's different there. This is not just that the spirit of Novos was the source of Achav's downfall, but the spirit of Novos was speaking falsehood, right? Was speaking shaker, was speaking falsehood. Maybe that's why Elamehacha Savata Kalon Michavot Shasa Gam Atvar. So what's therefore? But the Gemara says, you're right, that's not the source. The reason why the spirit of Novos does not have a place within the mechitz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was because it spoke sheker. Which also, it's going to tell you something amazing. Do you see how powerful the need sometimes for nekama, for revenge is? Novos is dead. he's willing to give up his space within the Mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ability to get revenge on Achav. It's totally counterintuitive, right? But yet again, you see sometimes how we do things for the sake of getting revenge, for the sake of quote unquote evening the score, even though they're clearly not in our best interest. So the Gemara says, you're right. We learn out the concept, Rabbi, say that if you cause the downfall of someone else, that you don't have a space in the Mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from another context. Literally, again, you seated yourself with degradation more than honor. You also drank the uncircumcised ones. What is this talking about? Savata kalon mikavod, zenebuchadnezzar. So you went ahead and you seated yourself with degradation more than honor. That refers to Nebuchadnezzar. Rabbi Yossi Rashi points out something amazing. Nebuchadnezzar, after he would go ahead and conquer a monarch, he would sodomize the monarch. So what he would do is, so Nebuchadnezzar would debase the kingdoms that he conquered by literally engaging in this immoral activity. So that's what it means. You sated yourself with degradation. Nebuchadnezzar, you could have had so much covet, but instead what you did is you chose to debase yourself by sodomizing the kings that you conquered. Shasei gam atava arel. So drink together with the uncircumcised one. This is Sidkio. So I say this is dramatic. The pasuk calls, now remember, Nebuchadnezzar conquered Sidkio. So the Gemara calls Sidkio the uncircumcised one. Why? Because apparently the Gemara says Sidkio, Melech Yehuda, was sodomized by Nebuchadnezzar. So because Sidkio himself became the vehicle through which Nebuchadnezzar sinned, so there's some level of liability by Tzidkio as well. The Gemara says, what? First of all, that can't be it. Because the subject of the entire pasuk is Nebuchadnezzar. Va'od, Tzidkio tzadika. My havidei they may overlay. They both say, yeah, well, if it's true that Tzidkio was sodomized by Nebuchadnezzar, they both say, he obviously was not a willing participant in this. Right? He was forced. So how could he be held accountable for an act committed against his will? So we'll say, listen to this. Amrav Yehuda Marav. B'shor shebikesh osa rasha lasos la'oso tzadikach. When Nebuchadnezzar was ready to sodomize Tzidkio, what happened? So the Gemara said, we're going to see what happened in just a moment. Elam Yehacha. Rather, I'll say, the concept comes here. Remember, we're trying to prove a very specific point. That if a person becomes the vehicle for someone else's punishment, right? If someone becomes punished on my account, ultimately, again, there's some level of liability through me. The pasuk says it is also not good for the tzaddik to be punished. Ein lo tov ela ra. So lo tov means bad. Uksiv kilo el chafetz rasha ata lo yegur chara tzaddik Hashem velo yogur b'megurecha ra. So we'll say the idea over here. The Gemara says, Gam anosh letzadik lotov means it is also not good for the tzaddik for other people to be punished through him. So not only should the tzaddik not sin, but the tzaddik also should not be the vehicle through or the cause for someone else's punishment as well. The Rebbe said, the Gemara just jumps to just a second. My mashadai chaloshin lishna de puruhu. By the way, how do we know that chaloshin means lots? So we're jumping back and forth a little bit. The Rebbe says, it's just that concept that I should not be the source of someone else's punishment. I should not be the source of someone else. The Rebbe said, now obviously, if a person ultimately, again, incurs an avera, like the Gemara was suggesting with Tzidkio, Tzidkio technically was the vehicle through of Nebuchadnezzar's debasement, but obviously that was happening against his will, so he's not liable for that. But the idea being, where when I become the vehicle for someone else's punishment, that's not good. The tzaddik does not want to be the source of someone else's punishment. The Gemara jumps for just a second. So remember, the Mishnah said, "Matilin chaloshin." You could draw lots. You could draw lots for portions for karbonic portions. So Gemara, by the way, how do you know that chaloshin means lots? My mashalai chaloshin mishnah de puru. Tichsev eich nafalta mishamayim hilal ben shachar nagarat al aretz cholish al goyim. So we'll say that lashon of cholish al goyim cast lots upon the nations. Amar Rabba Bar Rahuna. So we'll say that pasuk is by Nebuchadnezzar. So what does it mean casting lots by Nebuchadnezzar? Amar Rabba Bar Rahuna melame shayamatil pur al gidolei malchus leida eza ben yomosha mishkav zechus. So we'll say, so apparently Nebuchadnezzar was a rampant sodomizer. And again, he conquered many nations, and he would sodomize a different king each day. And he would draw lots to see whose turn it was that day. Ksiv, kol malchei goyim kulam. Am Rabbi Yochanan, shenachu mimishkavei zachar. So we'll say, when Nebuchadnezzar died, they were able to rest from Sodom. The sodomizing stopped. Am Rabbi Yochanan, kol yomav sha'osa rasha, lo nimtzach schok bepek kol beria. All the days of Nebuchadnezzar, I'll say this incredible Gemara, there was no laughter. Nebuchadnezzar was a tyrant, and his tyranny literally, again, eclipsed the entire world. So all the days that Nebuchadnezzar was alive, there was no laughter in the world. Isn't that incredible? So we'll say the idea over here is that when Nebuchadnezzar died, the world became quiet. Laughter, celebration began. When he was alive, we'll say apparently it was like a reign of terror. There was no laughter in the world. You're not allowed to stand in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. The spirits, right? The impure spirits dance there. When Nebuchadnezzar was getting ready to sodomize Sirkio, Nimshicha arloso shlosh me'os amo. His foreskin extended 300 amos. Vahaisa machzeres al kola mesiba kula. And literally, again, it extended. Literally, mesiba kula means, it will say, it extended totally out, encircling all of the people who were in his palace. Shneemar savata kolon michavod shasa ganata va'ara arla begimatria shlosh me'osam. So we'll say, why did this miracle occur? Because obviously, if his arla extended that much, he was unable to do anything to Sidkio. But Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, B'shah Shiyarad Osa Rasha L'Gehenem, Rashu Kiyarad Gehenem. Let's listen to this. When Nebuchadnezzar died and went to Gehenem, the people in Gehenem were afraid of him. Was like, can you imagine this? Like that was the tyranny that Nebuchadnezzar brought to the world. That literally when he came to Gehenem, the people of Gehenem were afraid. What were they afraid of? Amru, Shema Limshol Aleim Huba, Olach Los Kimosem Huba. So we'll say they were afraid. Is Nebuchadnezzar coming to Gehenna to rule over us? Or is he just as weak as the rest of us? Shneamar, Gam ato chulisa kamonu, elinu nimshalti, yatsas sabaska v'omra, memina amtirade vashkevas harelim. Eich shafta noge shafta midava. So we'll say, so the pasuk comes, the baskel comes out and says, Nebuchadnezzar is just as weak as the rest of you. Eich shafta noge shafta midava. Amrav Yehuda Amrav Shavsa Uma Zu Sha'amra Medod Vahave. So we'll say, so what does it mean? Eich Shavsa Nogesh Shavsa Midava. So literally means, look how the Nogesh, the oppressor, has rested. Shavsa Midava. He rested literally again from gold. What does that mean? Amrav Yehuda Nebuchadnezzar died. Shavsa Uma Zu. This nation rested. Sha'amra Medod Vahave. The nation that constantly said, bring or measure and bring. I will say this was the fact, this was a reference to the fact that Babel conquered many kingdoms. Those kingdoms became vassal states. As vassal states, they had to constantly bring tributes. So Babel was known as the Mateva. Medod Vave, measure your tribute and bring it. Ziga da Amri Shamra Ma'od Ma'od Havi below me. Others say no. Babel didn't even say measure and bring. Babel just said bring and bring and bring and bring and don't even measure. The Rabu Yisero Saftali. So listen to this. The pasuk over here, the Gemara is quoting, is again from Daniel. You've added on even more. So we'll say Rashi gives the backdrop to this. Nebuchadnezzar understood that Nebuchadnezzar became arrogant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to humble him and show him that lemaisa, at the end of the day, his strength was from the Ribono Shel Olam. His strength was not his own. So how did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do that? Kadosh Baruch Hu exiled him to live amongst the animals for 7 years in an effort to humble Nebuchadnezzar. So we'll say, but when Nebuchadnezzar comes back and reassumes his throne, he comes back even stronger, this time also asserting dominion over the animal kingdom. And how did his dominance over the animal kingdom come about? How was it manifest? Malamed Sharachav Alari Zachar. He used to ride a male lion. The Kasher Tanim Berosho. And I will say he would tie a snake or a serpent around the lion and use the tied serpent as like the reins over the lion. So can you imagine this scene? He rides a lion with a serpent used as the reins. L'kayim ha-shene'emar, v'gam eschayos ha-sada nasati lo la'avdo. To actualize the pasuk, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Nebuchadnezzar, to his credit, learned the lesson. He learned the lesson that his strength was not his own, that his strength came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that he was the vessel of God to do a number of things, including destroying the Beis Hamikdash, Rachman Litzlan. But ultimately, again, because he learns his lesson, he comes back stronger. He has dominance, not over the human world, but his dominance extends over the animal kingdom as well. We'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow. All right, Shabbos and Zoom. Have a wonderful day. Grace Chastler with all of you.